This is Jay Sekulow, The Leakers, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What we need now is an objective investigation by the Inspector General, by the Office of Professional Responsibility, into these leaks and into what was meant by the email that said that we have a leak strategy.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's hard to believe that that meant that we have a strategy to stop leaks. It seems much more plausible that he was talking about a strategy designed to leak things in order to achieve the goal he had set out for himself, namely to have an insurance policy against electing a man who he thought was dangerous to the country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the leakers, it starts with James Comey, who leaks a private conversation, a memo that he has of a private conversation he had with the President of the United States when James Comey was the FBI director. He leaks that information for what reason? To get a special counsel. Lo and behold, what does he get? A special counsel. His deputy, Andrew McCabe, found guilty, at least within the Inspector General's report, of leaking information that was not supposed to be made public, doing media leaks. He gets terminated and is now being reviewed by a grand jury in Washington, D.C. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. We have the series of text messages and the leaks. Now, Mark Meadows, the United States Congressman from North Carolina, said this yesterday. He sent a letter to the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, drawing attention to what appears to be a coordination of leaks from the FBI and DOJ to media and requesting more information about it. This is the timeline that Mark Meadows puts forward. On April 10, 2017, Peter Strzok texts Lisa Page. So it's a Strzok to Page text. I had literally just gone to find this phone to tell you I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with DOJ before you go. 4/11/17, Washington Post publishes a story online titled FBI obtained FISA warrant to monitor Trump, former Trump advisor Carter Page. On April 12, 2017, Peter Strzok texts Lisa Page that two articles are coming out about, quote, her namesake being Carter Page. On 4/22, April 22, 2017, Strzok texts Page, article is out, and well done, Page. And then Eitan Goldman, the lawyer for Peter Strzok, says, oh, no, no, the term media strategy wasn't about leaks, although they reference particular articles in the evidence I just gave you. It was about an overall DOJ policy.
Yeah, that's right. So he's trying to say that that term, which again, he doesn't capitalize in the way he writes these texts, that media leak strategy was some kind of official strategy within the FBI. I think that, again, that may be his attorney's spin on the situation Peter Strzok faces, which is serious because he was let go by the FBI, fired by the FBI. Remember, everything else we've learned about Peter Strzok has been via text message to Lisa Page, his bias against the president, the continued action to undermine the president even after the election. So moving forward, we learn more about the situation. We've learned about all these characters through these text messages that they were sending each other. That's how we learned about Bruce Orr. And Christopher Steele. I mean, remember, so I think when you read this and you look at the dates and you see the stories that come out around that time period, and you specifically look at what happened to Carter Page as well, it all comes together that it seems like a decent attorney spin on those on the left, which they immediately want to embrace so that they cannot have to cover the story.
Well, they don't want to cover a story that has these leaks about particular stories and well done Page.
It has leaks to them.
And it's leaks, as Jordan just said, it's leaks from these FBI officials, Page and Strzok, to who? Media sources. Now, again, the lawyer says, oh, no, it was about an overall anti-leak strategy. Meanwhile, Congressman Meadows says they're trying to sell a work of fiction. We come back from the break. I'm going to tell you what representative, and maybe we have the sound from this, Jim Jordan and Professor Alan Dershowitz have to say about this. A lot to talk about. More leaks. More problems at the FBI. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We want to know what you have to think about all of this. And should the president declassify the FISA documents involving, guess who? The namesake, Carter Page. We'll take all of those calls, all your comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So this is what's been uncovered in the Skrock Page emails. Just came out on Tuesday. On April 10th, 2017, Peter Skrock text messages Lisa Page. I had literally just gone to find this phone to tell you I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with DOJ before you go. The next day, the Washington Post runs an article on titled FBI obtained FISA warrant to monitor former Trump advisor Carter Page. So the article comes out about Carter Page the day before he wants to talk about media leak strategies involving DOJ, and there you have it. On the 12th, the very next day, Strzok texts Page and says the two articles are coming about her, quote, namesake. Namesake is Carter Page. On April 22nd, 10 days later, Strzok texts Page, article is out and well done, Page. Now, if you can explain to me how that's not a leak. He's referring to an article, well done, Page. Was it well done, Page, because you stopped the leak? Or the article's out, well done, Page, you've made the leak happen. But his lawyer says, oh, no, they're talking about a media strategy to stop leaks. This is, I think what Meadows says is right, it is fantasy. Here's what Professor Dershowitz had to say about it.
What we need now is an objective investigation by the Inspector General, by the Office of Professional Responsibility, into these leaks and into what was meant by the email that said that we have a leak strategy. It's hard to believe that that meant that we have a strategy to stop leaks. It seems much more plausible that he was talking about a strategy designed to leak things in order to achieve the goal he had set out for himself, namely to have an insurance policy against electing a man who he thought was dangerous to the country.
Yeah, so there you have it. And then the media reaction to this, other than our friends at Fox and other than what you're hearing on these networks, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got, again, this reaction. I think this is important to point out. So this is how, if you were watching the other side of the media, if you're watching CNN, House Republican, without evidence, suggests new texts show misconduct of former FBI officials. He's literally giving you the evidence. I mean, this is what evidence is. Evidence would be the text messages. Peter Strzok got fired because of his text messages.
Right.
So we know that how important. We know about Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele because of text messages. We know about the meetings he had because they were sending messages to each other. That's CNN. Washington Post, Trump's lately highly premature Peter Strzok conspiracy theory. So you see, they base this all off his lawyer's spin. And what I would just put forward is this. It's not to never believe lawyers. It's that the idea is that no other person would be treated this way if you were coming from the other side of this. So if you were already someone who had written text messages saying, I don't like this person, I'm going to bring them down, we're going to have secret meetings about this.
We want insurance policies.
And then using nasty words to describe them. And then this comes out about you. Would you just take that and say, oh, yeah, the nice spin. They really did keep their head above water. Because remember, they were all fired from the bureaucracy. We've talked on this show. We've spent a lot of time on how difficult that is.
Yep.
That it is not easy to fire the Andrew McCabe
But Comey's
types.
Gone.
It is
McCabe's
not easy
gone.
To fire the
Peter Strzok's Peter gone, Strzok and Lisa Page quit.
Right. Right, because they were because once
but
they,
Bruce Orr's still there.
Bruce Orr's still because he has to go through the process. And honestly, Bruce Orr's text messages are more about what happened
yes.
than they are that
about
he is
the strategy.
This is going a step further. This is admitting things that you get fired
but to,
for.
To argue Stan Bennett and to argue that Meadows got it wrong when the message from Peter Strzok says, "Well done, Page. The article's out. Well done, Page." Is anybody? I mean, I'm sure those on the left maybe are trying to buy it, but this is really a tough one to buy. I don't care whatever political perspective you have.
I think those on the left will try to justify it, Jay, but I don't think they buy it. I don't think they believe it. And by the way, if you go back to the Inspector General report, which was hundreds of pages long, there was so much evidence of leaking and, in fact, bribery that a report that was not supposed to have anything to do about that. In that Inspector General's report, Jay, he said, I'm going to issue a separate report about all of the leaking and the culture of leaking and bribery that is happening inside the Bureau. Look, I think it's text messages like that that push the Inspector General to do it. And, Jay, just one other data point. That I want to push out there for you. This text message was on April 10th where he says, I had to go find this phone so that we could have this conversation. Jay, 8 days before that, this was in the IG report.
The FBI guy couldn't find his phone. But go
right,
ahead.
But here's why, Jay. 8 days before that, on April 2nd, this was in the IG report, he said, Page to Strzok, so look, you say we text on that phone when we talk about Hillary because it can't be traced. Jay, this was them going to look for that other phone
wow.
that they were using so it couldn't be traced.
Okay, so let's go take it a step further here. Inspector General Horowitz, appointed, by the way, by Barack Obama, so you can't argue he's a partisan. We concluded that these leaks highlight the need to change what appears to be a cultural attitude among many in the organization. The harm caused by leaks, fear of potential leaks, and a culture of unauthorized media contacts is illustrated in chapters 10 and 11 of our report, where we detail the facts that these issues influenced FBI officials who were advising Comey on consequential investigative decisions in October of 2016. The FBI updated its media policy in November 2017, restating its strict guidelines concerning media contacts. That also completely eliminates what Peter Strzok's lawyer is trying to spin here. Put him back under oath, ask him, and see what he says about that. Is he going to do his Mr. Gowdy? You know, how dare you? I mean, here's the nonsense. Let me be blunt. To say this is an irregular investigation is an understatement. I start with the dossier. That now, do we have any sound from John Brennan, or was that others talking about it? Yeah, John Brennan says, oh, I never believed anything in the dossier.
Yep.
Really? Then why did they use that as the basis of a FISA warrant? Which, do you think we need to get that declassified? We want to have your opinion on that at 800-684-3110. So let's just start with that one. So this whole thing starts, this whole Russia inquiry starts with what? A dossier that's unverified. Based on a FISA warrant then that's issued on Carter Page, and evidently there was the basis on that was the fake dossier. And news articles that these folks were leaking. And then you have the Peter Strzok emails and the Page emails, and then you got the James Comey actions, and the Andrew McCabe now being investigated by a grand jury. And I ask you this question. Does anybody want to argue with me that this is a completely legitimate and normal investigatory matter and being handled in accordance with that when there's also reports that Christopher Steele's information, at least through Bruce Orr and others, was trying to be sent over to the special counsel's office? So calling this a regular inquiry is a gross a gross overstatement. There's nothing gross understatement, I guess. There's nothing regular about this inquiry. What's regular about this inquiry, or really in a very significant way, an unusual response, has been that the president has issued a completely transparent response to all this. But you can understand a president saying, no, why am I doing this when all of this is going on? And the more I read about this, and you look at it as a constitutional lawyer, which is what I do, you say to yourself, my goodness, if there was a violation of Article II authority and separation of powers, it's happening right before our eyes. Yep. And it's every day there's a new revelation and somebody's trying to spin it But the reality is, this is the basis of an inquiry involving the White House. And this is not normative, period.
That's why Peter Strzok's talking through an attorney.
Of course.
I mean, he's not at the FBI anymore. And he's again, facing potential legal jeopardy, not just losing his job, but he could lose all his benefits, and then also could face actual criminal charges. Because of the positions he held. And remember, he was on the special counsel's team. Let's remember, this guy who's talking to his attorney now was the lead investigator for the special counsel.
Exactly. Until he was fired. But he was the lead investigator. He was fired weeks ago. He was on it for a year before there was even a special counsel, he was the lead investigator. Right. And then he was the lead investigator at the special counsel's office for about 6 or 8 weeks, maybe even more. So let me ask you this. What happened to that evidence during that year and a half? Where did that go? Fruit of the poisonous tree. Washington Times. A spokesman for Mr. Brennan said he never approved of the dossier. In fact, the source said, he worked to make sure it wasn't included in the intelligence community assessment of Russia election interference. It wasn't corroborated intel, the spokesman said. Be very interesting if this information is declassified to find out if that dossier was the basis upon which a FISA warrant was granted against an American citizen when you had Mr. Brennan, the former CIA director at that point, correct? CIA director, saying, oh, it was unverified. I'd like to know the answer to those questions. I'm going to demand to know the answer to those questions. And you, the American people, should be demanding those answers as well. And frankly, Than, so should Congress.
Absolutely, Jay, and they need to go under oath. I mean, Peter Strzok needs to come back before the committee, go under oath, and here's my biggest concern about all of it. You talk about the separation of powers. We're also spying on American citizens using this, and Jay, yep. These are not rogue employees. This is the highest echelons of our intelligence and our law enforcement agencies in Washington, D.C. It's not, you know, field agents. It's CIA directors. It's deputy directors. It's the director of the FBI intentionally leaking. Jay, it's the entire seventh floor of the FBI. If you cannot correct that and make sure you have integrity at the highest levels, then all is lost. We have to restore the integrity at the highest levels and restore the culture from the top down.
What do you think this means?
I think, honestly, it just underscores how corrupt this investigation was. I mean, how untrustworthy these individuals were, that these were the leakers, that this was, we know it from Jim Comey, we know it from Andrew McCabe, and you realize it infected the people around them. I mean, that's the bottom line truth. Is these were bad actors, not people who you want to be leading law enforcement agencies. On either side of the aisle, no one would have kept Jim Comey in. No one would have kept Andrew McCabe. No one would have kept Peter Strzok. These are not good people to have in the law enforcement world. It's why they are talking through lawyers now in this situation. And they were the investigators, and now they're talking through lawyers.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by the rest of our panel coming up in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online aclj.org.
So Peter Strzok texts Lisa Page on April 10th saying, I just literally had gone to find the phone to tell you I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with GOJ before you go. The next day, the Washington Post publishes a story online titled, FBI obtained FISA warrant to monitor former Trump advisor Carter Page. We know that's based on the dossier. On the 12th, Strzok texts Page and says two articles are coming out about, quote, her namesake being Carter Page. And on April 22nd, 10 days later, Strzok texts Page, article is out, and this is with an exclamation point, and well done, Page. And Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, his lawyer, Peter Strzok's lawyer, says, the term media leak strategy in Strzok's text refers to a department initiative to detect and stop the leaks to the media. The president and his enablers are once again peddling unfounded conspiracy theories to mislead the American people. Except it says on April 22nd, 2017, Strzok text Page, article is out, and well done, Page. Well done what?
Well done, you got the leak, and you did what I told you to do, and that is do everything that we possibly can to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president of the United States. And the response by Eitan Gohman, the lawyer for Peter Strzok, is laughable, Jay. It's laughable, and to make that statement and to expect the people of the United States to be so gullible as to accept that as being true, it's really part of our strategy to detect and stop leaks, is ridiculous. It's like Alan Dershowitz says, it doesn't even pass the giggle test.
Yeah, the problem is CNN, MSNBC, ABC News, they bought it.
Not only they buy it, they're spinning it to everybody who reads those as news sources. I mean, so, and I think that you go from a CNN type to a MSNBC type, those are not necessarily the same audiences either. I mean, so it's the fact that CNN puts out their headline, House Republican without evidence suggests new text message misconduct of former FBI officials. He's literally, this is the evidence.
Yeah.
This is what we know about Peter Strzok. I mean, we knew the reason he ever got called to testify, the reason he lost his job, all started with his text messages. And the fact that the meetings in Andy's office and the undermining the right. president, continuing it on, and how to take the gloves off, kid gloves on Hillary Clinton, all that stuff came from text messages.
Let's take a call.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Robert's calling in from Maryland, on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, what strategy does the Department of Justice have in place, legitimate strategy, I mean, let me qualify that, to stop the leaks coming out of the Department of Justice and the FBI? And in addition to stopping the leaks, what is going to be done to prevent further future leaks from taking place? Because it's pretty obvious, based upon the things you have read, I'm assuming from a FOIA act that you received the information about, that there is leaking going on.
I think there's leaking going on as we speak, as I'm talking to you on the radio right now. Now, the FBI updated its media policy in November of 2017, restating its strict guidelines concerning media contacts and identifying who's required to obtain authority before engaging members of the media and when and where to report media contact. We do not believe the problem is with the FBI's policy. This is what the Inspector General said. We found that to be clear and unambiguous. Rather, we concluded that these leaks highlight the need to change what appears to be a cultural attitude among many in the organization. Remember, McCabe said, hey, I told Comey I was going to leak this information. I was going to get this information out. And then Comey said, well, it didn't come to me. I like Andy McCabe, but I think he got something wrong. I don't know if we have that soundbite. Maybe we can find it from months gone by. What's your reaction to this, Harry?
Well, my reaction is that it is clear beyond question that there is a culture of leaking at the FBI. It's a systemic problem. It's an ongoing problem. And so when you hear from Strzok's lawyer suggesting that the text messages merely refer to an internal strategy to stop leaking, then it becomes crystal clear why Alan Dershowitz, Harvard law professor, suggests those claims fail to pass the giggle test. Well, I disagree with Professor Dershowitz. Those statements by Strzok's attorney fail to pass the smell test.
Yeah, well, there you go. Wes, your sense.
Yeah, the culture is not just a culture of leaking, Jay. It's a culture of corruption and bias at the upper levels of the FBI and the DOJ that are coming out. And I think in reality, what they banked on, because we don't know how long this was going on during the previous administration. They banked on that no one will ever know, that we will not get caught. Now that they've been caught, it's an insult to the American people, the defenses that they're using for this.
They are bizarre. I mean,
yeah, they're using a secret phone, discussed media strategy. A negative article comes out. He congratulates her on the negative article, but don't believe your lying eyes. We were trying to stop media leaks. That's ridiculous.
How do you get around this one? I mean, Strzok texts the page. Article is out! ! Well done, page. Well done what? Stopping the leak that I got out in a newspaper article? No. I mean, why do they think that the American people are going to take this? We sure should not. And I'll tell you, it goes to the... And these people were involved with... Remember this. These people were involved in this inquiry since the beginning, before predating Robert Mueller.
Oh, Peter Strzok led the Clinton investigation, and he started the Russia investigation. And he put this together, and he is the one who said, let's tie this to the president specifically, not just looking at what Russia is doing to interfere in U.S. elections, which is a separate issue. It's become a separate issue now, and the administration has continued to work on that. Remember, they put forward all the security officials and said, we're all taking this very seriously in all these various departments. But he took it and weaponized it, made it a political weapon. Because they did not like the outcome of the election, because it was an impact on the bureaucracy. You want to call it the swamp. It's pretty swampy, this stuff.
Yep.
Media leak strategies on both sides. We know how serious of a problem this was, and we know that the people responsible for the leaks were at this level. So this was not the field agents, the average FBI agent out there that we've talked about that is doing their good job. These are the Washington bureaucrats who make it to the top and think they're God.
Yeah.
And they think that they can play with all of us to determine this is what information we will give out to the people, this is what information we will not give out to the people, and we will get these reporters to buy whatever we say and spin it however we want. And then I'll have my attorney say that, and they'll also do the same thing. They'll double down once more, which is what they did. I mean, here's another headline. ABC News, Trump and GOP ally push disputed theory about leaks. The only dispute was his attorney. The only person who's come to Peter Strzok's defense is his attorney and Democrats now,
right,
who have accepted that, you know, that they would like to defend him based off this. That's it. I mean, it's his attorney. It's not. It's disputed by the person who's trying to protect him from going to jail.
Yeah, right. Kevin on Facebook says, with all this wrongdoing, do you think indictments are coming against these bad actors? Andy, we know that there's a grand jury impaneled as a result relating Andrew McCabe.
Yes, but I don't know whether or not that grand jury is also going to be privy to the information that it ought to be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but whether or not the prosecutors who are handling that grand jury have the fortitude to do what they should do and put all the evidence of wrongdoing by all these people and not just McCabe before the grand jury. I think they need to look at Strzok. They need to look at Lisa Page. They need to look at Brennan. They need to look at every actor who touched this, including McCabe. And that is the prosecutor's responsibility to put that before the grand jury. The grand jurors themselves do not go out and gather the information. It's the prosecutors who present it to them.
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And you can watch it there online, of course, on Facebook and Periscope as well. So we encourage you to do both of those and support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. But again, we're taking your calls. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment. We'll take your calls and comments on a fascinating topic. A lot of leaks.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Just in case you're just joining us, the second half hour of the broadcast, we are talking about the information that came out from Congressman Mark Meadows on Peter Strzok and Lisa Page on the, quote, media leak strategy. And that was not capitalized, by the way, because I say that because his Peter Strzok's attorney has said, well, see, that was an official department strategy at the FBI because they were combating leaks, except for the final text message we received is that the article's out. Well done,
Lisa Page.
I mean, why would the article wouldn't be out if you stopped leaks?
Certainly wouldn't have been well done. It would have been articles out. How did you let this happen?
Yeah,
but it's not. It's articles out. Well done, Paige. All right, let's go ahead. We normally don't do this, but we got a lot. I want to free some lines up for folks.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call during this first segment.
Sure.
Here.
Jerry's calling from Rhode Island on line two. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, team. As his lawyer, Strzok told his lawyer something, and the lawyer said it. Every lawyer in the room knows he has to say something. That's all he's got. Do these four people still have clearances that they're allowed to use to get other jobs that they obtained while they were working for the FBI, which requires fidelity and integrity in their job? If not, those clearances should be pulled. To answer two of your questions, Jay, yeah, no, this is not an investigation, if anything, but, and the only person who can declassify to start fixing this so the grand jurors can hear the right information, there's only one person left that may be willing to do it, and he's the top dog, and he needs to do it.
That's the president, and that's a process that they have to go through. Wes, on the clearance, they probably still do have the clearance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, unless it's revoked. A top secret clearance lasts for 5 years and is always able to be renewed as well. So unless someone revoked it, yes, they still have their clearances.
Yeah, so
that's probably part of his legal issue that he's going through now, because he could be stripped of his, he could go so far like an Andrew McCabe situation, mm-hmm, where his benefits are likely in question. Now, he served, I think, 25 years also. Yep. So, I mean, this is someone who would have reached the top already of receiving pensions and things like that. So all of that's under review. That's part of the legal issues he's facing. Also, potential criminal charges. So,
yeah, so
I think all of that's probably under that umbrella.
Yeah, I think that's right. Harry, how do you see what's the moving forward point here?
Well, I think first the House has to remain vigilant and persistent in the receipt and the pursuit of documents.
Yep.
Because I think there's more to come. In addition, House Republicans need to push back against the mainstream media, because the mainstream media refuses to believe the evidence right before their own eyes.
I mean, how do you not believe article is out? Well done, Paige.
Well, because they've
chosen not to.
They have chosen not to. They have engaged in willful blindness, in part because they suffer from a derangement syndrome.
Yep. So then, Harry's point, I think, is something that we need to go, as you're our director of governmental affairs, what is the House doing or Senate doing right now on this topic?
Well, there's going to be two things, Jay. I mean, first of all, they're going to bring Peter Strzok in, put him under oath again, and question him about this, and I think that's appropriate. But, Jay, I think probably the more aggressive thing that they'll need to do is when this Inspector General report comes out with more evidence specifically on this point. I mean, I think Jordan's correct. The text messages themselves are a pile of evidence. But when the Inspector General comes out with his completed report, I think it will be Congress's job, both the House and the Senate, to provide oversight. And, Jay, it goes all the way to the security issue. If you are fired with cause, or if you are found to be leaking sensitive information, you should lose not only your job, you should also lose your security clearance. So I would look for Congress to do two things. Take that Inspector General report and pursue it. And also, Jay, change that law on how those security clearances are revoked.
Here's the ridiculous nature of this. This entire matter, Andy, I mean, we only have 40 seconds here, was the basis upon which this entire Russia inquiry began.
Well, that's why I think it's an infected inquiry. I think it's compromised. I think it's undermined. I have my own opinion with respect to whether it ought to continue or not, but I'll keep that to myself.
All right, there you go. All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Strzok to Page. Article is out. Well done, Page. Lawyer for Peter Strzok says, no, no, no. That was the policy about stopping leaks. And why was it well done, Page, about the article being out? It would have been well done, Page, if you didn't have the article out. You see what's going on here? Take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you're fooling yourself if you don't believe it. So this just broke. Fox News has got this. A lengthy exchange dated December 15, 2016 between Page and Strzok appears to reveal a potential leak operation for, quote, political purposes. This is from Page to Strzok. Oh, remind me to tell you tomorrow about the Times doing a story about the RNC hacks. That's from Page. Then it says, and more than they are already did, this is what Strzok says, I told you, Quinn told me they're pulling out all the stops on some story. A source told Fox News that Quinn could be referring to Richard Quinn, who served as the chief of media and an investigative publicity section of the Office of Public Affairs. Quinn could not be reached for comment. Strzok again replied, think our sisters have begun leaking like mad, scorned and worried, and political. They're kicking into overdrive. Sisters being sister agencies, Jordan. That's what the reference is, they think.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Obviously, that was referring
this
to another government agency.
This was after the election.
Yeah, I mean, so related entity. So a related entity to the FBI would be another government agency. This is coming out in December, so this is later than the text messages we're going through now. And when you look at this, I mean, he's talking about the RNC, and he's talking about a specific reporter, which is already it's talking about the media advisor at the FBI, Office of Public Affairs. He's talking also. What you realize is that the head of counterintelligence of the FBI was spending all his time talking to the media. I mean, you realize that. And that's because that's how this whole thing worked. That's how you got the FISA warrant. You had to plant the story. It's the FISA warrants didn't work. Remember, they didn't issue. We forgot that report that came out, that the initial time that this came before a judge, they said no. And they never say no. But they said no, so they had to come up with information to receive. Okay, so they start planting things. And then I think that they get this whole group got obsessed with that. They probably figured out the power of the media.
Yep.
I'm not sure if they were doing this a decade ago, by the way, to this extent. Yep. I don't think they were undermining President Obama this way because they didn't feel like they needed to. And maybe not
so
even
this
President
is before
Bush.
The 2017, the April 2017 text. This is a predating text.
Yes.
This is after the election.
Yeah, we're talking.
How do you
still after the election though?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how committed they were to taking this whole group down.
Yeah, Wes.
It's I know that I hate using this word. I don't like it when other people use it. But what they're doing after the election borders on treason. And, you know, Jay, I think about this. The trust of the American people has been so violated. And we don't even know the full extent of it because it keeps coming out bit by bit. But truth is truth. And in another era, an era that everybody at this table can remember, if this kind of material and information was coming out, the Democrats and the media would ultimately, perhaps reluctantly, they would acknowledge it. They would go with the real story about corruption, and they might not want to do it, but they would do it out of a sense of honor and trust to the American people. Yep. And that's part of what's lacking at the upper echelons of DOJ and FBI. It's also lacking in our
media.
Let me
say one thing, Than. This is coming out drip, drip, drip. I mean, that's obvious here. And this is where I think we need it. We need to just we need the government to come clean. Tell us what this Russia probe is. Tell us what you've got. Tell us what's there. Tell us how you're getting the information. Tell us who's leaking stuff. Just come, you know, it's exactly what, you know, people will say. Tell it, get it out there. Because obviously it's coming out almost now every couple of hours.
You need the flood of information, Jay. Yeah. You need all of it. You need the underlying source documents, which might come eventually from the president. You need the evidence of the leaks throughout the agency. Jay, I really think the seventh floor on its totality. I mean, I think Wes's comments are right on point here, because if the shoe were on the other foot, clearly there would be people calling for people's heads. Jay, remember the text messages where they were talking about how the seventh floor was upset and fighting with the fifth floor because the fifth floor, to Jordan's point, had denied the FISA application. Jay, it is not appropriate for the seventh floor, the leadership inside the FBI, to be exerting partisan influence like they did. We need to know who it was, and then, you know what, we need significant personnel change there.
My friend, Professor Alan Dershowitz, said this about that exact topic.
It is so dangerous to every American. Today it's Trump, thereafter. Tomorrow it could be Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, and the day after tomorrow it could be you and me. That's why every civil libertarian, Democrat and Republican, has to be concerned about government by leak. Look, we want full disclosure. We want a lot of information that's now classified to be disclosed, but there are proper ways of disclosing this.
I mean, I think Alan Dershowitz, Professor Dershowitz, is 100% correct. There's no doubt in my mind. This is absurd. We need a declassification of those documents, but we also need to find out the rest of these emails. This is, there's just a train here. I mean, these are the, look, you can hold any political opinion you want. No one's disagreeing with that, but then you don't get to be the investigator on the case that's in charge of the actual criminal inquiry, which is what's happened here. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Walter calling from California on line four. Walter, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Walter.
Hi, thanks a lot for all you do.
Sure.
I have a question about Peter Strzok's boss, James Comey. Is he still teaching a course on ethical leadership at William & Mary?
I think he was initially teaching it at Howard University.
I think he still co-teaches
that course. Yeah, in the fall of 2018 and the spring of 2019 and the summer of 2019, he's teaching at the prestigious College of William & Mary. Harry?
Well, it makes no sense. But some individuals suggest that cream rises to the top. My view, particularly with respect to higher-level FBI officials, is that incompetence rises to the top. That's the problem. The field agents at the FBI, they're very, very competent. But what we have at the upper levels of the FBI is a demonstration of incompetence.
Well, that's why we have the text message. I mean, they thought, by using this other phone and maybe the WhatsApp app, that the government couldn't take the actual device and get the info. And this was the head of counterintelligence at the FBI.
A little scary.
So there's been a disconnect as they rose up through the rank. We've talked about this a lot with law. Maybe it's also law enforcement. Is that they're not really caught up on the technology.
The law's not caught up with the technology.
Because this guy, Peter Strzok, has been there 25 years, so a long time. Do they forget what they're doing? They think that just by grabbing this other phone, that they think that there is their personal phone, maybe that they can put that in their pocket, and no one can get access to that if they believe that there's some
Andy, what's the right
security
thing to do
threat
here to come to get this information out?
Well, the right thing to do to get the information out is for there to be a legitimate grand jury investigation into these people, and for prosecutors who are not connected with the upper echelons of the FBI.
You mean a special counsel to investigate these irregularities?
That is correct. Somebody who will really be a special counsel who was not connected, like the current special counsel is, to having been in the FBI, who is not part of the establishment, but a truly special counsel to really and make an inquiry into these leaks. Because the idea that somebody like Peter Strzok, who is in the highest...
Head of counter counterintelligence.
Yes, was in the highest echelons of the FBI, should be orchestrating leaks like this to his girlfriend and then lauding her and saying, the article is out. Well done, Paige. I guess he wasn't so intimate if he just called her Paige. But, I mean, you know, it's like Harry. So Harry likened this to cream rising to the top. In the South, we have septic tanks. And there's stuff that, that rises to the top, and it ain't cream.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me say this. Oh, you heard that here first, folks. You're getting plumbing information as well. Let me tell you this. I have said for, and I know the media will pick up on this again, but I've been saying this for a year, that there needed to be a special counsel investigating the investigators here. I mean, but remember, this is how the inquiry began with Russia, is all of this stuff. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take another call before the break.
Yep. Let's go to Pat in New York on line 5. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pat. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hey. God bless you for everything you do, and thanks for the hard work.
Thanks.
I guess it's a question, comment type of thing here. Is how much more does the American people have to take? We're still looking at Hillary. Nothing's gotten done about that. Every day, something new comes out. When do they cross the line? When does our president maybe say it's time to shake up the DOJ, shake up some more the FBI, get something where the people are going to start believing again that something's going to be done to all this stuff that comes out day after day after day?
I think here's the reality. I mean, this is what I think needs to happen. I think you need a special counsel to investigate the Department of Justice irregularities and the FBI irregularities here, to get to the bottom of what happened here. I think the Inspector General does a great job, but he doesn't have prosecutorial authority, but that's fine. He needs to do his job, and then it needs to go to a special counsel. And I'm not a big advocate of special counsels. Trust me, I am not a big advocate of special counsels. But I think this is kind of like with the IRS situation. I'm not sure, Andy, institutionally they can self-correct here.
No, I don't. I think we corrected it. It was us who corrected the IRS,
right,
in connection with the targeting of conservative groups. And I don't think that I hate to say this because I worked for the Department of Justice for 5 years, but I don't see that agency as being capable of self-correcting itself. It needs someone from outside to do it.
What do you think, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Mueller, you know, was the FBI director. Do you really think that he can go in as a special counsel and completely objective?
Well, it's not even in his this is not in his mandate.
No. But can he be objective?
No.
I don't think anyone could be totally objective with his long history, and he knows people that are still there in the Department of Justice. You need a truly independent person to investigate this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, would you appoint a former Attorney General? I mean, we had Attorney General Ashcroft on yesterday talking about 9/11. You wouldn't appoint him to investigate the DOJ. That would not be a fair situation for people. I mean, you know, it's not a fair situation. And I think that it became part of this investigation.
Right.
That is why Bob Mueller had to fire Peter Strzok. He had to get rid of him because it was going to look so bad. And guess what? It looks bad. It smells bad. But it's being investigated now criminally.
Yep.
So when you have a criminal, guess what? They can't keep this hidden anymore.
All right, we're taking your calls. We come back from the break. Last segment. Man, this hour flew by. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
So Mark Meadows releases text messages from Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. I had just literally gotten to try to find the phone to tell you I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with DOJ. Then the next day, the Washington Post publishes a story online. FBI obtained FISA warrant to monitor former Trump advisor Carter Page. By the way, based on a fake dossier. That's a whole other story. Then Strzok the next day texts Lisa Page. Two articles are coming out about her, quote, namesake, Carter Page. And then on the 10 days later, Strzok texts Page, article's out. Well done, Page. Well, I guess that did not stop the leak, which is what you told your lawyer saying you were trying to do. No leaks. Apparently that wasn't the case. All right, so last segment of the broadcast. Take as many calls as we can. Let's go right to the phones. And Mary's been holding a long time.
Yeah, let's go to Mary calling from Texas Online 6. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow.
We're
going to
send Mary the book Undemocratic. There you go, Mary. So you hang on the line afterwards. We're going to get your mail address. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for all you do for the fight. I support you financially, thanks. And this is why. But listen, if they don't get these declassified and somebody other than the media, the midterm elections are coming up. What we see here, even though I'm a conservative, all I see is negativity. You start to doubt everything that's going on, and every blog I see, every post I read on Facebook or Twitter, we are losing hope. And somehow, before these midterm elections, when these kooks, I mean, you hear the media, they're kooks. Somebody has got to stand up, and it's not our Congress.
So you don't like, I take it from that, you don't like the media. You're not a fan of the mainstream media. All right, Jordan, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. Usually the media wants all this information. They obsess over government documents. They actually are kind of the originators of this FOIA world. You know, that is
right.
That is the media files, most of the FOIAs. It's probably not the ACLJs and Judicial Watch who are even there as much as it is the New York Times and the Washington Post and Fox News. I mean, everybody in the media. I mean, that's they use that process to get to do their reporting. That being said, putting it all together, I think it all has to be analyzed. You don't start declassifying things willy-nilly.
Right.
You don't. There's a reason why they're classified. But I think our whole FISA process, and we talked about the DOJ, I think that is pretty scary involving the judges, the relationship Peter Strzok had there. Yes, and again, we know this because of text messages.
Right.
It's confirmed he had the message, and he was even nervous about the relationship and how much he should tell him about things, and she says, no, he knows everything. You know, he understands. I think it would be scary to the American people. Probably part of this whole system has to be a reform of that. But that's a big undertaking. It was not easy to get these laws done through Congress.
I agree. That's where it needs to be looked at very, very seriously. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Megan in North Carolina on line 3. Megan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all you do.
Yep.
My question is, what is the process that takes place to declassify all this information, and haven't they had enough time to do that already?
It's a much more complicated process than people realize. You have to analyze the data, and Wes, you hold a security clearance. The fact is, you make sure you're not disclosing sources and methods. There's a lot of thought that has to go into this.
Right, and what
people are demanding it happen tonight, tomorrow, yesterday, but there's a process here.
Yeah, and I understand that desire, that demand, but the president is doing what he should be doing. He's being very judicious. He's allowing his national security team to go through this to make sure that sources and methods are not compromised. That is vital, and I think once his team finishes doing that and having that assurance, I think we will actually probably see some of this declassified.
Yep. All right, take another
Let's
call.
Go to Reggie in Texas Online 2. Reggie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Reggie. Go ahead.
Hey, welcome, guys, and thanks so much for the jobs that you
thanks.
Do. But it really is blowing my mind as an American citizen to see this going on, where as the average American citizen would be in more trouble than traffic court than what some of these people are. They're just getting off scot-free. And it just really is disheartening to see what's going on, and it's finally good to see, with your help and other people, that this is coming out to light where it should have been.
But it's not there yet, Harry. I mean, that's part of the problem here. There's a declassification aspect of it, but we need to get a full picture of what took place on this whole Russia dossier probe inquiry counterintelligence investigation.
Absolutely, because the evidence that I've seen so far suggests that the whole probe into the Trump campaign was grounded in fiction, grounded in a fabrication. And so we have individuals like Strzok and Page and perhaps McCabe involved, but equally true, we have members of the media. What is their objective? Their objective is to cripple this president. And so what we need is a special counsel to investigate the investigators. And it may indeed implicate long-term some members of the media.
Well, I would protect the media's First Amendment source rights. I think unequivocally you have to do that too.
But I wonder if the investigation will uncover some wrongdoing involving the media as well.
But I think the way that has to be approached is through the FBI, through its sources. My view always has been that the media protection is important. First Amendment protections are important there. Now, here's the documents that are being asked to be declassified. So it's believed that these documents contain exculpatory evidence that was left out of the FBI's application. So, Andy, when you see exculpatory evidence, let's explain to people what that means.
Exculpatory evidence is evidence that will exonerate somebody, that will find that they're not guilty of the accusation that's made against them. So if something exculpates, it has to be turned over at the appropriate time by the government to the defense attorney.
302s, other official memos from 12 interviews to Department of Justice official Bruce Orr conducted between late 2016 and May of 2017 with Christopher Seal, the author of the dossier alleging Trump had various business and personal ties to Russia. So that's what the 20 pages are involving, and maybe more than 20 pages now. But exculpatory evidence, important for people to understand what that is. That's evidence that's showing that they were not engaged in unlawful activity and that they thus there should not have been a basis for a FISA warrant to surveil American citizens. All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that when you look at the 20 pages, you see the FISA application. You look at the documents on Bruce Orr. I mean, that again, it gets to the point of this is a lot of information to go through.
Yep.
Bruce Orr has also already started giving testimony, so some of this may be available to members of Congress to review. They just are not allowed to release it. Ultimately, I think that this information can be very important to know, but it has to, context is important here. Remember, at some point, these people may have been they're under oath. Are they not under oath? Are they spinning at first? Do they change? I mean, you can't. If we just got these documents, I think it's probably pretty overwhelming and a lot of diplomatic speak, if you will.
Yep.
And so I think putting it all together in context is also important. You have to. It's the Inspector General report. That has taken a long time.
Yeah. We still don't have the one on Comey.
No, we don't. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's still taking a long time. And what is important is the context. That's what they do in those reports.
Andy, what do you think happens at the end?
I don't know. I hope that justice ultimately, to use an old phrase, prevails and that all this comes out. But it's facts that we need. And I think that subject to methods and means being protected, I think that disclosure and declassification is really what ought to happen, it seems to me.
Because unless the methods and means don't work anymore. I mean, there is a point there. Is FISA dead? Is that whole court process, should we trust that anymore? Or should we tell Congress to go back to the table? They have to go back and authorize these kind of moves and put these on the president's desk.
What's the temperature for that in Congress, then, really quick, we're at the end of the broadcast?
Well, FISA's abused, and it has to be reformed. If they're going to keep using it, Jay, there has to be protections against this in the future. So you've got to fix it, or else it is dead.
All right. That does it for the broadcast today. Stay engaged with us at ACLJ.org. Follow us on Facebook, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow. The good way to stay engaged with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.